On the phone, we are so tickled to have Brian French, and we've had him as a guest on the show a number of times in the past. He's wearing a completely different hat this morning, and it's a hard hat. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. Nice to talk to you again.
Brian French, co-director of the New Duluth Folk School, and when you and I talked about this toward the beginning, when the folk school was just getting started, and it's still a really new venture, you said, yeah, somewhere way down the line, we're hoping maybe we'll get a building. And all of a sudden, you're like Toolman Tim, man. You're there and you're building and painting and constructing and this-ing and that-ing. And tell us, let's back up a little bit. Talk a little bit about the folk school just briefly, and then let's hear about the new building.
Yeah, so the Duluth Folk School is a place where people can go to learn how to do things. So we have classes where people can learn how to make a canoe paddle or learn how to sew. We just had a class last week where we taught people how to do pressure canning, and we've got a class this weekend on how to start kayaking. If you've always wanted to start and you just don't know what to do, this is the class for you. So we've got classes all over the map, but mostly they're classes that are geared toward teaching people skills, how to do things that they've always wanted to do. You know, I like to think about it. If people grew up on a farm maybe 100 years ago, you pretty much knew how to do everything because you had to do everything. These days, that's not the case. Most people don't grow up with the requirement that they just have to do all of these skills. And so we're teaching those things, and we have a lot of fun doing it. Because one difference between a traditional school and the Duluth Folk School is we can have fun while we're taking our taking these classes.
So how do you define a folk school course as opposed to like a community ed course?
Yeah.
Because both of them do like to focus on things that people do for enjoyment. I did volunteer out of the goodness of my heart to come and teach a class on how to read the weather, and you turned me down.
Right. So folk school, well, in a community ed class, you could be taking a class on learning how to use Excel or learning how to speak Russian. And so the classes that the community ed program offers are a little bit broader in focus. We're really trying to drill in on the classes where you're learning to do things with your hands, or you're learning to you're learning a practical skill that is more tangible than esoteric, let's say.
All right, I'll buy that. I still think that when I go to cocktail parties, people frequently ask me to read the weather, and I still think that's a useful skill. But if that's the way you're going to be about it, that's just fine with me. So
now, I will say that if you were offering a class in how to read the weather while you're on the trail looking at a cloud and measuring the perceived barometric drop, then we might be onto something.
But, well, yeah, but then that's not really an environment. If that's an environment where you want to be quiet, Brian, you want to be quiet and listen and observe and not just be spouting off about stuff.
I think we're using two different definitions of read the weather. But
yeah, but a bumch. All right, I had that one coming. The Duluth Folk School's only been in existence like 2 years, maybe? Year and a half?
So the concept has been percolating for several years. You know, Tim Bates, the other founder of the Folk School, and myself, we've been up in Grand Marais. The North House Folk School is a place where people, it's one of those places you walk in and you're like, man, I'm home. This is great. And Tim and I have talked for years about how wouldn't it be great if there was something like that in Duluth, but nobody was ever starting that. And finally it occurred to us, well, maybe we are the ones that need to be starting the folk school. And so we did.
You sat, you looked around at everybody else. Nobody raised their hand. You finally slapped your knees,
right,
Stood up and said, okay, fine.
That's pretty much it.
All right. Fantastic. So how did you end up with a new building this quickly when it seemed as though this was something that was going to take quite a while?
Well, and when we first started, our whole concept was that we were going to be sort of a nomadic folk school where we would offer classes all around the community, Hartley Nature Center and downtown and out west. And we did that for a while, and we quickly realized that that was not fun. We had a cars full of totes and bins, and people would ask us all the time, so where are you located? Or, you know, I want to come and visit you. And it was not much more than a concept, than a tangible thing. So for the past, let's see, probably starting in November last year, we started renting a long-term rental in the Lincoln Park neighborhood, and that was going pretty well. We were just renting a single room in a building, and we had a lot of classes there, and that was pretty great. But we also realized that that little room was, it was just a month-to-month rental, and so it was never a secure thing that it was a long-term viable option. But, you know, when you're in a place for a while, you start to sort of move in. And we were realizing that for the types of classes, the variety of classes that we wanted to offer, we needed something that was a little more stable. And so we started building shopping just to see what was out there and toured lots of commercial properties and looked at stuff all the way up the North Shore. We looked at stuff all the way out in Morgan Park and close to Gary. And this particular building that we built or that we bought, it was on the market, it had some water damage, so it went off the market, and then it came back on the market at a significantly lower price. And we just happened to be in the right spot at the right time when it came on the market, and so we just happened to be first in line. We made an offer, it was accepted,
and the rest is history. Did you at any point think of offering a folk school class on how to rehab a water-damaged building?
You know, it's funny because there are some things that people would be willing to pay for, and there are some things that people are not so interested in paying for. And we have had a number of people volunteer to help us out. And so I can't imagine how much further along we are because of all the help. We're just so grateful to all the people that have stepped up and volunteered to paint, to scrape glue, carpet glue, to haul plaster and lath, and we've had great fortune in the community of volunteers and the people who love the concept of the folk school and wants to help it succeed. So we've been really fortunate in that regard.
Now let's talk about the new building a little bit, because addition to your classroom space, the building is going to offer some other spaces. I want to hear about that.
Okay, so we've got this is super fun. So the folk school is a place where people can go to learn how to do things, how to, you know, do various skills and crafts and learn fun stuff like that. That has been our primary focus and our primary mission. But we also know that, I mean, we've been looking at the folk school movement around the country, and folk schools pop up fairly regularly all around the country, but not all of them succeed very well. And so we've been trying to think, what can we do to make this more successful as opposed to a cool idea that just can't support itself? And so we bought a building that was bigger than the folk school itself would need, because we want to also have studio space for artists and crafters and makers and builders. And so we've got seven studios that will be in the facility, and we've already got four or five of the studio spaces rented out, so we only have a couple left. And then we also are going to have a marketplace, like locally made handcrafted goods. And so these could be things that are made by folk school instructors, because we have probably 60 or 70 different instructors on the books right now. And they all do such a wide, fun variety of different things. So we would offer stuff that the folk school instructors made. We would offer merchandise that the tenants who are renting space are creating. And then we would also open it up to the community at large. So, and then finally, and we just are like coming together on how this is going to work, we're going to open a cafe. And we just settled on a name and the logo. It's going to be the Dovetail Cafe and Marketplace.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you're not familiar, a dovetail is when two different types of wood are carved in such a way that they come together. And so basically, you know, the whole...
If you don't know what a dovetail joint looks like, run a quick Google search as soon as we're done talking to Brian, because it's a beautiful, cool way of bringing a couple of things together, and it also looks pretty when it's done.
Yeah, so, and that's sort of our idea. And so the cafe is going to be a relatively simple fare, you know, coffee and tea, beer and wine, soup and sandwiches, that sort of thing. And so our hope, our plan, our business model is hopefully put all of these things together and stir it up into a fun salad, and that is enough to make this a successful grow. That's the hope. That's the plan.
All right. One final thing that we need to know. What's the address?
1917 West Superior Street. So we are just across the street from Duluth Pottery and Frost River. We're right next door to OMC. And so, yeah, we are just thrilled to be down in a neighborhood of crafters and builders. The Lincoln Park Craft District is a burgeoning idea, and it's one that is super fun. And you can, of course, find us online at DuluthFolkSchool.com.
And when can folks, well, of course, are you going to be holding classes there this fall? Are you already holding classes in the space?
Yeah, we have been holding classes here for about a month or so, maybe a month and a half. And so we will continue to offer classes at the Folk School while we're in the midst of renovation. That's the nice thing about what we're doing, is that we can make a mess, and it sort of fits with the whole
gestalt
what we're doing.
Yeah.
So we are still offering classes while we're renovating and building the building out. And we're usually there just about every day. And we've got the doors propped open for ventilation. And I get visitors just about every day. And so it's always fun to give people a tour, show them the space, and show it off.
Fantastic. So you can just knock on the door and say, hey, can I look around and, you know, maybe rent a studio while you're at it.
Absolutely.
Brian, thanks so much for joining us. What an exciting project. Looking forward to hearing more about what goodies are going on down at the Duluth Folk School. And thanks again for being our guest.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Brian French this morning. He and Tim Bates, the co-founders of Duluth Folk School. And Brian French and Tim Bates, of course, both former regular guests on Northland Morning. Not that there's a connection between movers and shakers in the community and regular guests on Northland Morning. I'll let you draw your own conclusions.